Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, which I also present the Coffee Chronicles. Hello everyone. I apologize for the brief hiatus there seems to be going around. I apologize. I try to do a show. I have done a few shows, but not quite consistently because of my schedule. I started back at work and at school, and it's been kind of hectic. So I'm going to try to get better about that. But in the meantime, today, I'm going to do, I hope first and foremost, I hope everyone's having a fantastic Tuesday. I've been off this week until I go back to work next Monday, but I've been off all week. My kids have had asynchronization where they work from home, do their online work, but they don't really have live. And then tomorrow, beginning tomorrow, they're off, and we're all off on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, which is the reason I didn't have to be at work until next Monday. So anyway, I hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving holiday, however it is that you're going to spend it. I hope you all have a fantastic day. But first, I'm going to talk to you today about a really amazing writer. Let me read you about her, briefly about her. This is the author spotlight for Leanne Moriarty, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced her name. Leanne Moriarty is the author of the number one New York Times bestsellers, Big Little Lies, The Husband's Secret, and Truly Madly Guilty. There's also the New York Times bestsellers, What Alice Forgot, and The Last Anniversary, and The Hypnotist Love Story in Three Wishes. She lives in Sydney, Australia, with her husband and two children. Now, Leanne Moriarty, you can find her work under Leanne, LianeMoriarty.com. LianeMoriarty.com. And today I'm going to talk to you about Nine Perfect Strangers. This book was published. And we're back to the Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, author spotlight, Leanne Moriarty. My apologies. I was just about to go into what year the book was published, and then I had a phone call and it stopped the recording. So my apologies. Let's hope that doesn't happen again. Okay, now, this book was published in 2018 by Leanne Moriarty. And this is from, this is taken from, let's see here, Flatiron Books, www.flatironbooks.com, printed in the United States of America. Anyway, this is a book by Leanne Moriarty. She's the creator of, or she wrote, has written many books, as you heard. She's a best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author. And her books have been amazing, like Big Little Lies, as I've spoken about before, is a phenomenal book. And then they also created the series written by David E. Kelly and also Leanne Moriarty. And they also, she collaborated with that short story for the second season where you saw Meryl Streep on that show. So now we have the Nine Perfect Strangers. Let me read you about Nine Perfect Strangers, the back of it. Could 10 days at a health resort really change you forever? 9 people gather at a remote health resort, some to lose weight, some to reboot their lives, some for reasons they can't even admit to themselves. They know these 10 days might involve some real work, but none of them can imagine just how challenging the next 10 days will be. Frances Welty arrives nursing a bad back and a broken heart. She's intrigued by her fellow guests, who don't seem to need a health resort at all. But the most intriguing person in the resort's The most intriguing person in the resort's strange charismatic owner is the charismatic owner. Should Francis and the guests put aside their doubts and immerse themselves in everything Tranquillium House has to offer, or should they run while they still can? With a hallmark writing that's made Leanne Moriarty a go-to for readers seeking wickedly smart, page-turning fiction that makes you laugh and gasp, Nine Perfect Strangers once again shows why she is a master of her craft. So, this is a great book. This is the latest one from her that I've read. It says, according to the New York Times book review, it says, if three characters were good in Big Little Lies, nine are even better in Nine Perfect Strangers. Then People, Book of the Week, said, witty and poignant, Moriarty's storytelling is worth every penny. And then Entertainment Weekly said, Moriarty's latest has no shortage of secrets, lies, and social intrigue. But at its core, it's also just good old-fashioned storytelling, full of feeling and well-wrought lines. So, this is really, really, really good, what they're saying about this book, and I really loved it. But I'm going to read a little bit about this book, which I hope you'll check out. We're going to start with the character of Yao, which is in chapter 1. Then I'm going to read you chapter 2, and that's Francis. I'll read a little bit of chapter 2 because it's a little longer than chapter 1. And then that's where we'll leave it off. But we'll be right back so I can start reading Nine Perfect Strangers. I'm going to do a little reading. I'm going to start with the first character of Yao. And then I'll go with Francis also for chapter 2. So, and I'll read some of that chapter 2. So, here we go, and I'll be right back. And thank you for joining me on The Daily with Sil Stein through Anchor FM, which we have the author spotlight on authors Leanne Moriarty's books, especially Nine Perfect Strangers. And we're back to The Daily with Sil Stein through Anchor FM presents The Coffee Chronicles. And now I'm going to read from Nine Perfect Strangers, the best-selling novel by Leanne Moriarty. I'm going to read chapter one, Yao. I'm fine, said the woman. There's nothing wrong with me. She didn't look fine to Yao. It was his first day as a trainee paramedic, his third call out. Yao wasn't nervous, but he was in a hyper-vigilant state because he couldn't bear to make even an inconsequential mistake. When he was a child, mistakes had him wail inconsolably, and they still made his stomach cramp. A single bead of perspiration rolled down the woman's face, leaving a snail's trail through her makeup. Yao wondered why women painted their faces orange. That was not relevant. I'm fine. Maybe just 24-hour virus, she said with a hint of an Eastern European accent. Observe everything about your patient and their environment, Yao's supervisor Finn had told him. Think of yourself as a secret agent looking for diagnostic clues. Yao observed a middle-aged, overweight woman with pronounced pink shadows under distinctive sea green eyes and wispy brown hair pulled into a sad little knot at the back of her neck. She was pale and clammy, her breathing ragged. A heavy smoker, judging by her ashtray scent, she sat in a high back leather chair behind a gigantic desk. Seemed like she was something of a bigwig, the size of this plush corner office and its floor to ceiling harbor views were any indication of corporate status. They were on the seventh floor, and the sails of the opera house were so close you could see the diamond-shaped cream and white tiles. The woman had one hand under her mouse. She scrolled through emails on her oversized computer screen as if the two paramedics checking her over were a mere inconvenience. Repairmen there to fix a PowerPoint. She wore a tailored navy business suit like a punishment, the jacket pulled uncomfortably tight across her shoulders. Yao took the woman's free hand and clipped the pulse oximeter onto her finger. He noted a shiny, scaly patch of reddish skin on her forearm. Pre-diabetic? Finn asked, "Are you on any medication, Masha?" He had a chatty, loose manner with patients, as if he were making small talk at a barbecue, beer in hand. Yao noticed that Finn always used the names of patients, whereas Yao felt shy talking to them as though they were old friends. But if it enhanced patient outcomes, he would learn to overcome his shyness. I'm on no medication at all, said Masha, her gaze fixed on the computer. She clicked on something decisively, then looked away from her monitor and back up at Finn. Her eyes looked like they'd been borrowed from someone beautiful. Yao assumed they were colored contact lenses. I'm in good health. I apologize for taking up your time. Certainly didn't ask for an ambulance. I called the ambulance, said a very pretty, dark-haired young woman in high heels and a tight checked skirt with interlocking diamond shapes similar to the opera house tiles. The skirt looked excellent on her, but that was obviously of no relevance right now. Even though she was technically part of the surrounding environment, Yao was meant to be observing. The girl chewed on the fingernail of her little finger. I'm her PA. She lowered her voice as if she were about to reveal something shameful. Her face went dead white, and then she fell off her chair. I did not fall off my chair, snapped Masha. She kind of slid off it, amended the girl. I momentarily felt dizzy, that is all, said Masha to Finn, and then I got straight back to work. Could we cut this short? I'm happy to pay your full, cost or rate, or however it is you charge for your service. I have private health insurance, of course. I just really don't have time for this right now. She turned her attention back to her assistant. Don't I have an 11 o'clock with Ryan? I'll cancel him. Did I hear my name? Said a man from the doorway. What's going on? A guy in a too tight purple shirt swaggered in carrying a bundle of manila folders. Spoke with a plummy British accent like he was a member of the royal family. Nothing, said Masha. Take a seat. Masha is clearly not available right now, said the poor PA. Yao sympathized. He didn't appreciate flippancy about matters of health. He thought his profession deserved more respect. He also had a strong aversion to spiky-haired guys with posh accents who wore purple shirts a size too small to show off their overly developed pecs. No, just sit down, Ryan. This won't take long. I'm fine, Masha beckoned impatiently. Can I check your blood pressure, please, Masha, said Yao, bravely mumbling her name as he went to strap the cuff around her upper arm. Let's take that jacket off first. Finn sounded amused. You're a busy lady, Masha. I actually really do need her sign-off on these, said the young guy to the PA in a low voice. Yao thought, I actually really do need to check your boss's vital signs right now. Finn helped Masha out of her jacket and put it over the back of her chair in a courtly way. They see those documents, Ryan. Masha adjusted the buttons on her cream silk shirt. Just need signatures on the top two pages. The guy held out the folder. Are you kidding me? PA lifted both hands incredulously. Mate, you need to come back another time, said Finn, with a definite edge to his barbecue voice. The guy stepped back, but Masha clicked her fingers at him for the folder, and he instantly jumped forward and handed it over. He obviously considered Masha scarier than Finn, which was saying something because Finn was a big, strong guy. This will take 14 seconds at the most, she said to Finn. Her voice thickened on the word most, so that it sounded like most. Yao, the blood pressure cuffs still in his hand, made eye contact with Finn. Masha's head lolled to one side as though she just nodded off. The manila folder slipped from her fingers. Masha, Finn spoke in a loud, commanding voice. She slumped forward, arms akimbo, like a puppet. Just like that, screeched the PA with satisfaction. That's exactly what she did before. Jesus, the purple shirt guy retreated. Jesus, sorry, I'll just... Okay, Marsha, let's get you onto the floor, said Finn. Finn lifted her under the armpits and Yao took her legs, grunting with the effort. She was a very tall woman. Yao realized much taller than him, at least 6 feet and a dead weight. Together, he and Finn laid her on her side on the gray carpet. Finn folded her jacket into a pillow and put it behind her head. Masha's left arm rose stiff and zombie-like above her head. Her hands curled into spastic fists. She continued to breathe in jerky gasps as her body postured. She was having a seizure. Seizures were disquieting to watch, but Yao knew had to wait them out. There was nothing around Masha's neck that Yao could loosen. He scanned the space around her and saw nowhere she could bang her head. Is this what happened earlier? Finn looked up at the assistant. No, before she just sort of fainted. The wide-eyed PA watched with appalled fascination. Does she have a history of seizures? Asked Finn. I don't think so. I don't know. As she spoke, PA was shuffling back towards the door of the office where a crowd of other corporate types had now gathered. Someone held up a mobile phone, filming as if their boss' seizure were a rock concert. Start compressions. Finn's eyes were flat and smooth like stones. There was a moment, no more than a second, but still a moment, in which Yao did nothing as his brain scrambled to process what had just happened. He would remember the moment of frozen incomprehension forever. He knew that a cardiac arrest could present with seizure-like symptoms, and yet he still missed it because his brain had been so utterly, erroneously convinced of one reality. This patient is having a seizure. If Finn hadn't been there, Yao may have sat back on his haunches and observed a woman in cardiac arrest without acting like an airline pilot flying a jet into the ground because he is overly relying on his faulty instruments. Yao's finest instrument was his brain, and on this day it was faulty. It shook her twice, but were unable to establish a consistent heart rhythm. Masha Dmitrychenko was in full cardiac arrest as they carried her out of the corner office to which she would never return. So that's a pretty powerful sentence. We have met Yao. We see that he's a paramedic. We met him, and we see the interactions and the way that Masha is acting, and then what the outcome is on that chapter. So it's pretty powerful there. We'll be right back to read more now about Francis in chapter 2. And this is the Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, and which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. And today we're doing the Coffee Chronicles. And today we're doing an author spotlight on author Leanne Moriarty. And we're talking about her book, 9 Perfect Strangers. And we're reading, I did a reading of chapter 1. We met Yao. And we'll come back and meet Francis. And stay tuned. Thank you for joining me here on The Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM. Now we're back with the author spotlight on author Leanne Moriarty and her book, 9 Perfect Strangers. This is from her The book, she published it in 2018. She's a best-selling author. She's got Big Little Lies and a bunch of other books that she's written for, What Alice Forgot, The Husband's Secret, etc. And now we're focusing on Leanne Moriarty's Nine Perfect Strangers. We met Yao, and I'm going to read you a little bit about Francis, just to get you an idea, and I hope you'll continue to check out this book. Here we go. Okay, chapter 2. 10 years later, and this, here we're meeting Francis. On a hot, cloudless January day, Francis Welty, the formerly best-selling romantic novelist, drove alone through scrubby bushland 6 hours northwest of her Sydney home. The black ribbon of highway unrolled hypnotically ahead of her as the air conditioning vents roared Arctic air full blast at her face. The sky was a giant deep blue dome surrounding her tiny solitary car. There was far too much sky for her liking. She smiled because she reminded herself of one of those peevish TripAdvisor's reviewers. So I called reception and asked for a lower, cloudier, more comfortable sky. A woman with a strong foreign accent said there were no other skies available. She was very rude about it, too. Never again. Don't waste your money. It occurred to Frances that she was possibly quite close to losing her mind. No, she wasn't. She was fine. Perfectly sane, really and truly. She flexed her hands around the steering wheel, blinking dry eyes behind her sunglasses, and yawned so hugely her jaw clicked. Oh, she said, although it didn't hurt. She sighed, looking out the window for something to break the monotony of the landscape. It could be so harsh and unforgiving out there. She could just imagine it. The drone of all blowflies, the mournful cry of crows, and all that glaring white hot light, white brown. Okay, let me read this again. She could just imagine it. The drone of blowflies, the mournful cry of crows, and all that glaring white hot light. Wide brown land indeed. Come on, give me a cow, a crop, a shed. I spy with my little eye something beginning with, and then N says, nothing. She shifted in her seat, and her lower back rewarded her with a jolt of pain so violent and personal, it brought tears to her eyes. For God's sake, she said pitifully. The back pain had begun 2 weeks ago, on the day she finally accepted that Paul Drabble had disappeared. She was dialing the number for the police and trying to work out how to refer to Paul, her partner, boyfriend, lover, her special friend, but she felt the first twinge. It was the most obnoxious example of psychosomatic pain ever, except knowing it was psychosomatic didn't make it hurt any less. It was strange to look in the mirror each night and see the reflection of my own lower back looking as a soft white and gently plump as it always had. She expected to see something dreadful. Like a gnarled mass of tree roots. She checked the time on the dashboard, 2:57. Then the turnoff should be coming up any minute, she told the reservations people at Tranquillium House that she had been there around but hadn't made any unscheduled stops. Tranquillium House was a boutique health and wellness resort. Her friend Ellen had suggested it. You need to heal, she told Francis after their third cocktail. Ellen had done a cleanse at Tranquillium House there 3 years ago when she too had been burned out and run down and out of condition. And yes, I get it, Francis had said. So now we've met Frances, and there's a lot going on there. There's more to tell on her. And like I said, this has been amazing to share on the Daily with Sil Stein. The author spotlight on Leanne Moriarty. You can find all of her work under Leanne, L-I-N-E-M-O-R-A-A-R-T, LeanneMoriarty.com. And I hope you've enjoyed this brief reading of her book, published in 2019, Nine Perfect Strangers. I believe they're working on a show for that. I know right now I'm really hooked on The Undoing. Every Sunday on HBO. That's a really good thriller too. So if you like those kind of genres, watch those. I definitely do. And I recommend you go out and get yourself a copy of Leanne Moriarty's Nine Perfect Strangers. You won't be disappointed with her books. They're amazing. And I hope that you all will have a most amazing day. Happy, happy Tuesday. I'm glad I was able to come and do the Daily with Sil Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. But I was able to share another author spotlight on Leanne Moriarty's book, Nine Perfect Strangers. And I hope you all won't be strangers and come and let me know how you did. Have a most amazing rest of your Tuesday. Thank you for joining me on the Daily with Sil Stein, where we're talking about best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author, from Australia, Leanne Moriarty, and her book, Nine Perfect Strangers. And I hope there's more to come. Have a great one, everyone, and happy Tuesday. These are the Coffee Chronicles, because it all begins with coffee. This is the Daily with Sil Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. And it all begins with coffee, too. It's just that I have several podcasts, but yes, this is the Daily with Sil Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. And join me through Anchor FM. Have a blessed one. Happy Thanksgiving. Please stay safe. And thank you. And I hope you enjoy this episode of the author spotlight on author Leanne Moriarty. Have a great one, everyone. Happy Tuesday.